Good morning. How are you doing, brothers and sisters? Thankful for what we've heard this morning. That was encouraging. I am grateful for it. And it makes some of the things that I was planning on sharing more complete in their expression. And all that, but this morning I would like to write something on the board. Holy Bible. Last Sunday, we heard a lot about the Holy Bible, its value, and its permanence. Then, it's the next thing. The Word of God, the omnipotent, perpetual, omnipresent ruler, designer of the whole universe. The Word of God. Isn't that amazing? I thought about it like this already. We can't really touch and see things eternal. But this eternal word, settled forever in the heavens, we can hold in our hands and read. Because thank God we have all learned to read, like many people in this world haven't had the opportunity to. The Word of God. Now, let's see if we can agree with this. Final authority. There have been poems written about the things that men and movements may come and go, but the Word is still the final authority. So now, on this earth, we don't come already perfected according to the instructions of the Word of God. We don't come that way. So now, in sharing on the thoughts of child training, we want to remember that none of us comes with the wisdom needed to train children. But somehow, by the Word of God, and the plan of God and the design of God, He gives children to younger people and to older people. God gives an eternal living soul that will never die to so many people on this earth, regardless where they're at. That's something that is astounding and amazing. We won't dwell on that long. What I want to share is that just as you learn to speak when you're this little child, it takes time, takes practice. But if you take time and some practice, it's really not that complicated or hard. Now, once I'm an adult and I want to learn Chinese, I will struggle for years. So there's varying degrees of what hardness is, but would God give us such an amazing, beautiful, delightful, precious privilege of having our own children and have it as something very complicated that you can barely understand or see into. I don't really think so. It might take time for me to learn and to think and to change my way of thinking about things so that it becomes easier. Now, if you take child training as something that God gave you this gift, and you are grateful for the opportunity upon this earth to stumble along and learn how to improve your ways of relating to this dear young soul, it'll probably make it easier. If you are like some other people who have the general impression they give that children are just kind of in the way. If your children are just kind of in the way, and that's how you think about it, and you don't change your way of thinking, child training, I trust, would be a lot more complicated and difficult. If I am thinking about this one statement that said that a lot of men at a younger age somehow or another find identity in their work by what they do. And then the same thing said that young lady growing up generally won't, in quotes, find her identity until she has a home and things like this. I am telling you something very briefly, not saying that this is the way it is. I'm just wanting to reach out there to get an idea and to ask you, what is in your life that you link to your identity? It is possible, you know, for human beings to have been so abused and misused in their life, one way or another, that they cannot think outside of their personal hurts. And their hurts become their identity. And they have, whenever someone talks with them about that, that's who they really are. That's where they are at the core of their being. That would be rather miserable, wouldn't it? But the question is, what is your identity? What is your identity? Identity. Is your identity in your work? Or is your identity in your children? Here's another thing that can happen for us human beings, that we are, our identity is so tied up in our children that when they do something wrong, we're so embarrassed because our children are the expression of who we are. Well, in my journey, which has been blessed in various ways and highly difficult in others, just as every one of your journey has been or will be, there's a lot of things and choices to make. In this identity thing, then if your identity is wrapped up in your children, now if somebody kind of finds a fault with your children, now they touch your identity. Now what's going to happen? Probably won't be a pleasant experience both to you or to the person who touched your identity. So then how should we think about this? How should we think about this? There are various things to consider. And in my experience, I liked children. And I really wanted to have a friendly, sharing relationship with my children. Does that sound reasonable? And then I learned through the instruction and teaching of other people that it is a very useful mindset if you learn to think that you will not be embarrassed and take it personally by the things your children do in public that are embarrassing. Now that is rather hard to do. That's rather hard to do. But I saw that if I do that, then my identity is wrapped up in my children. And I want my identity wrapped up in something bigger than that, or something other than that, should I say. So now if my children make public blunders or do rather foolish things, I can choose and discipline myself to think that, oh, thankfully it needed to come out. Thankfully it came out. Public or private, well, it doesn't really matter as long as it came out, so that I can learn and so I can understand how I can guide and correct and channel their energies and their vitality and their life and their behavior, so that it will be better for them in the future. Be better for them in the future. And another thing that I found out and learned, and again tried to think different, is that God, in His Word, the Bible, takes on a surprising amount of responsibility in working with children, if we work with Him, working with children to have it turn out right. That is very encouraging. So I don't have to be this parent that kind of knows everything and understands what to do. I can rest myself in the Word of God and seek its wisdom and listen to other people and consider how it matches with the Word of God. Church is made to share with one another and to learn from one another. Now, because of the tremendous things that are tied into this idea of child training, it is sometimes rather hard to share it freely, because someone who shares might feel like they are setting themselves up for failure. For example, how could I say that? Maybe I should let that for later. And if someone is willing to talk about child training, now suddenly the mindset that we generally have is, oh, there's someone special, or they think they're someone special, or any various things. Well, I would like to share with you that we, as human beings, I find, have a need to hear and to learn from all these different ideas and people that have had experience, and I can learn from it. There's a lot of people that I listen to tidbits here and there that really helped me. And so now, because of the help I got that helped me in my stumbling journey to have a joyful, blessed experience at many times, as I continue to learn and grow, now I want to exercise myself, when asked, to think about what did I learn and how did I think and what are the principles of child training. And I realized that takes a bit of time. I should spend quite a bit of more time thinking and considering these things and coming up with principles that helped me how to change some of my thinking so that child training became easier, wasn't as complicated. Now, if child training is not the thing that you value as the highest responsibility that you have, doesn't mean you're spending necessarily more time in it all the time, but as the most important thing in your life, that will make it harder. All right, whatever you really like and it's a valuable thing in your life, that's probably what you'll sacrifice a lot without thinking too much about it. All right, so in the same way, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Jesus said, because He tells you how to think different, so you're not going after your own way and your own things, but you're seeking to live for someone else. And you're liberated from trying to make your own kingdom thing work. Now you're serving someone else and doing what they say. Now, in the same way, there's a lot of things in how we think, I saw and how I thought, that made it harder than it needed to be. Now, will you find it easy? Well, this varies a lot. I didn't care whether it's easy or not. I just saw that it is possible, according to the Word of God and according to people that had raised children, to raise children that are what are we looking for in raising children anyway? Maybe we should ask more of us here, find out what are we looking for when we're raising children? What is it possible and nice that you see that it's good when you're raising children? Does anybody volunteer something, want to volunteer something?
Maturity.
Can you define maturity for us?
Responsible.
Respectful.
Proper work ethic.
Honest.
Kind.
Anything else?
Fear God.
Keep his commands. Lots of things that we look to. When we hear those things, that's what I would think too. Those are things that are common to us in our understanding of what it means, what we're looking for. And so the question is, how did I get there in whatever small level that I might have come to maturity? I know that I had to realize that I have to learn first. And then in a lot of cases, someone had to be willing to help me to grow up and learn. And how about this aspect of maturity, that when you make public blunders, that you don't wish the floor would swallow you up? Can you give yourself the human space that you make public blunders? And thankfully, that reminds me, I made a massive public blunder without realizing it last time by speaking way too long. I knew there's a bit of subject, but I just spaced out and didn't realize it. Now, I can be so humiliated, not humbled like our brother shared, which is proper, but I can be so humiliated that I say, okay, this trying to share and speak thing in front of anybody else is just not for me. I'm just not going to make it, and I refuse to do it. Would that be mature? Well, now, in child training, if you kind of realize that you goofed up and then you just back away from the child and say, I will no longer train my child because I'm just goofing it up anyway, is that wisdom? Right. I would rather not have anybody do that. The other thing is, it doesn't matter what it is, and this is awkward to say, but if you have appreciated under God's blessing a certain measure of success in anything, whether it's your business or your family or your preaching, for those who do that, and then most of the time, we humans tend to forget the amount of dedication and stumbling and times of fearfulness and horror that you went through as you tried to apply yourself to something. All right. Now, what Brother Malin was sharing was highly fitting in this, is that we all have our unique gifts and abilities. Why try to be someone else? What you have and where you are is still valuable in God's sight. Why not give God a chance? Doesn't matter what corner it is. All right? So then when you speak about these training things, unless you are willing to become somewhat of a glass house in some areas, and you tell people how you failed, it'll make it look like you kind of have some answers, and other people just might not have those answers. And so on child training, if we can redeem child training from that mindset and realize, oh, we're all just learning, and we're going to apply ourselves to it, and if we stumble, whatever, we're going to keep on going. Not going to give up or think wrong about it. Okay, back again in how these things affect us. Some people come across as confident, and they're really not confident at all. And so it's good to, like our brother shared, to have compassion and understanding one of another. That was a rabbit trail. I'm going to come back to my story that I experienced here a number of months ago. I was talking with someone after a meeting that we had, here. And then that where our conversation was finished, and suddenly I found myself standing somewhere here, and everybody else was busy talking and sharing, and everybody looked like they were having a good, blessed, wonderful time, and I was there by myself. And as can easily happen to us, this thought washed over me that I don't have anything to share with anybody. I count for nothing. I'm really quite worthless. I really don't fit here. And depending what level of deception you go into and suddenly become aware of it and come out of it, you have to hang to some value other than yourself to recover. All right? There's value. We can talk about that later. But anyway, so then I said, this is a familiar voice. But there's an answer to this voice. I didn't hear a voice as such, but the thought, you know. So I lifted my heart in simplicity to God and said, Father, I think that I need some edification. As I go walking out through, would you please connect me with someone that I can be edified by? Or, and here's where it's rather hard for us to think, those of us who have really struggled in this negative thinking, or please lead me to someone that you want me to encourage and edify. Now, I can receive or give, and when you give, you're edified, and when you receive, you're edified. So I can take it either way. Whichever way, it doesn't matter. I can take it either way. Okay. So then there's various thoughts that I realized where I had to choose on a daily or hourly or weekly or monthly basis to think different. That helped me so that I could be more free as a disciplined person who chooses some sort of discipline to put energies into thinking about how can I train children? How can I train children? And one key thing that I'd like for us to consider is that so many places in life there are borders. There are very strict laws and guidelines in life. Doesn't matter if you're an atheist or the most godly person around, or someone who's in between, who's just the casual Christian, whatever, doesn't matter. There are strict, solid laws that you dare not transgress, or it might cost your life or your reputation. Some of us are energetic. We like to do things. Well, I hope a lot of us, because that really helps to do things, especially child training, if you've got some source of energy and interest in life around you and all that. But then there are some things we can imagine that would be kind of fun doing. But some things that you have to decide whether it's appropriate or not. Now, if we think about it, even here I have a lot of laws and rules and strict guidelines to follow that I don't even think about. I just follow them because that way it's more a blessing to me and to you and all that. For example, imagine with me if I wouldn't really honor the guidelines that these benches set up. There's a hallway, there's an aisle here that we can walk down, and there's borders. So I don't just go walking along the top of the benches and hitting you on the head. I walk somewhere where it's appropriate, and I don't just go around doing things like that, right? And children, when they come to us, they don't know a lot of these things. I remember this past week, my youngest son had his hands in over something. And then the youngest daughter comes, and suddenly she's hitting him on his hands like this. And the youngest son, he didn't care at all. It didn't matter to him. And it looked like she was kind of doing it fun. But then I realized, oh, this is a problem. So I had to tell my young daughter, my little daughter, and say, you know, you don't really want to go around hitting people like that. So if you want to play, that's fine, but don't just go around hitting people like that, because I have seen if I don't explain that when it's cute, almost funny, then they'll do it suddenly when it's very inappropriate. Or they'll do that when your children are over here and she starts beating around your children. That wouldn't be very funny anymore. So, yeah. Anyway, I'd like to get into some scriptural things. And of course, when the Bible talks about child training, it talks a lot about the rod. How to apply it. How not to overuse it. Oh, this has sources of lots of contention. But are we doing this? Are we making sure that we are doing this, examining it by the final authority, the Holy Bible, the Word of God? So this can be quite a cause of unsettling. So, it comes from him. Shall we ask him? Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. If you can. And kneel with me as we ask the Lord for his blessing. Father, we have your blessed, enduring word. It has instructions for us in these vital things. And you make it so strong and clear that we do not want to neglect it. We do not want to change it. But we want to be disciples of your word and followers of your word. We just ask you, please, Father, be with us as we think and apply ourselves to renew our minds to consider the things that you have to say in these vital subjects that our hearts really care about. Father, we want to raise godly seed. Father, we want to raise them for you and for your purposes. And so we just implore you, Father, that you would give us a deep revealing as we kneel before you and fill our hearts with gratefulness for the power, the beauty, and the glory of your word. We have nothing of ourselves, but from you comes all wisdom and insight and understanding. So please help us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The rod. The rod. That which causes me, when I read it in the Bible, to think and to consider it as something harsh and undesirable and unpleasant. That which my soul cringes from when I see God telling someone to take a rod and beating a little helpless child with it. Why should I do that? So who invented children? Who designed it? God did. So therefore, even if I have this difficulty and this problem with it, I don't want to lose what God said is the way that it really works. I don't care if it doesn't turn out right. I want to have stumbled along and applied myself to use the rod properly, effectively, and correctly. All my days of responsibility with child training. I welcome it. I embrace it because of the joy, the beauty, and the eternal rewards that are behind it. Why not give it a chance and give it all you've got in your powers of reasoning and insight? We use it for business, right? We use it for business. We use it for trying to court a young lady or try to... All these things, we use all the powers we have to think about what is God's way and His beauty and His power in things. So now we want to try to do it on the subject of the rod. The rod. Okay, let's go to the scriptures and see what we might be able to learn this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we do not have time to cover everything that is in these beautiful, powerful verses, but we have to follow a certain line. So I'd like to look at the word nurture, and I studied that a little bit. It says tutorage, which might be a strange word for some of us. It means education or training. By implication, it's implied disciplinary correction or chastening. And there are various other words that link together with that, but I saw that it is something that discipline and chastening is implied and expected in New Testament child training. And it seems to link back with other things in the Old Testament. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod. He that spareth his rod. Looked up rod, by the way, what it means. And it basically means it calls it a scion. Or it means a twig that seems to be about this. Now, nowadays we have plastics and other conveniences. And so I find this maybe a good consideration for a rod. Whatever rod you have, you need a rod. He that spareth his rod hateth his son or child. But he that loveth him, chasteneth him betimes. Someone on this side, tell me, what might betimes mean?
Quickly.
Okay, often, quickly, often. And this side, any more definitions of
early?
Okay, and what was it? Repeatedly, all right. All of those are correct. One thing that I also saw that this word means is promptly. Now, I realized that, okay, if my child is doing something that I see is not good for him, and it's detrimental towards his good development for being a mature adult. So I'm not raising young people to be wayward and oh, the world's these kids. They just go out and do what they want and how they feel like it, they do. But I'm raising them to the marvelous, glorious, mature delights of adult wisdom. That's what I want to train them for. All right? And so therefore, if I see that he needs or she needs chastening, now I should be prompt to go get the rod or have them go get it and to use the rod properly. That can be a discussion. Won't get into that just at the moment. And use the rod promptly. And to use it, taking pains to do it promptly was one definition. Putting forth prompt effort. And I added, because this is something that I had to learn and continue to apply myself to try to practice. Pleasant, respectful promptness. Oh, this is not good. And the child, you talk with the child and they understand, oh, yeah, this wasn't good. All right, well, then let's use the rod. And then we can go on with life and do the things we enjoy doing together. Okay, chasteneth him betimes. Chasteneth him promptly. You don't neglect it, let it go away. So I have to exercise some self-denial to do that. So if you exercise some self-denial, it probably is easier. If you kind of put it off and then the child gets noisier or gets miserable or starts to raise a big ruckus, now it becomes more difficult and you dread it more and it becomes more miserable. So if you do it promptly, might that help to make it easier? I find it that way. But sometimes it takes discipline. It's just not long ago I had laid down because I was worn out. It was during the middle of the day when I had a little bit of space for trying to get a nap. And as I laid down, fully relaxed, from outside the door. So I had to make the choice. What am I going to do now? Do I want to join in the delight of having them raised up to be pleasant, cheerful, flowing together children? Yes, I do. So I get up and I go get the rod. And I say, well, what was happening? Someone was fighting. Yeah. Okay. So we applied the rod, and peace was restored, and they were delivered to think better and to act better so they can enjoy peaceably working together. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. If you spare the rod, you hate your child. Doesn't matter. The Bible says so. It's the final authority. The Holy Bible, the Word of God. If you spare your rod, you hate your child. I didn't say it. If you're a mother, and I don't know of any of you that are this way here, but I have read enough and seen enough that I know this happens. That, oh, my cute little child needs a spanking, but oh, surely not yet. Do you love your child when that happens? There's one clear no. It's hard to say no, isn't it? Oh, what a difficulty. But the final authority, the Holy Bible, the Word of God, as Sean preached, says it that way. Are we going to lift that verse out of the pit and mire that the devil put it in and raise it up to its sanctified level that the Word of God puts it? I want to do that because I want the rewards and the privileges and the pleasures that go with that Word and obey it. He that spareth his rod hateth his child, son, daughter. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, promptly, taking pains to do it promptly. And the other good things that we heard. Not with, oh, you're screaming again, I have to go and give you a chastisement. Oh, it's easy for that to come into my heart. Is it easy to come into your heart? Or have you thankfully come beyond that level that I still stumble in sometimes? And have to calm down a little bit, you know, and then get the rod. And with pleasant, respectful promptness, chastise the child that needs it. I saw that there is beauty in that verse, and there is deliverance in that verse. So why not raise it to the level that God puts it? Say, oh, I'm such a miserable parent, my child is not behaving it, then I must really mess it up. That's not really good thinking. I wouldn't recommend it. It's not good thinking. It's not good thinking. But if you're thinking, oh, this is my privilege to obey God's word, and can you imagine this? I didn't think about this before. Just now a thought came across me. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. So therefore, if you take the rod properly, the Holy Bible, the Word of God, the final authority, would also indicate that there is miraculous power behind this. Right? Well, you want to be part of the miracle working power of the God of heaven who designed and gave you your children and gives you every breath? Would you like to take an earthly thing, just like this earthly thing has profound and total miraculous power in it for changing my way of thinking and my very life and my very experience and the things I look forward to? This, if you're a parent and have been given a child, is invested with the miracle working power of the supreme ruler of the universe. Can we sanctify it to what it says? I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss that. Okay. Pleasant, respectful promptness. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. All right, here's a good example. I'm a human being. I make public blunders. My shoe's open, and I'm going to stumble if I don't tie it. Sorry, but I'm a human being. Are you a human being? Are you free to allow yourself to be a human being to do what God says works, even if you have to stumble around to do it? It's worth a try, isn't it? Let's try it. Let's try it. Let's try it. Okay, Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14. Withhold not corrections from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Oh, why did the Bible say it in such dramatic, graphic, plain words? Probably because we haven't learned to think right and we have to change our way of thinking. I want to change my way of thinking. Beatest means to strike, either lightly or thoroughly, soundly. I don't know for sure what word used there. So, you might strike hard. It hurts. Yeah, it's supposed to hurt. God said so, so why don't I do it? Taps, strike lightly. Both are in that verse. And both are beautifully, miraculously effective when you learn to value the Word of God and say, I don't care, I'm going to learn this and I'm going to practice it. Doesn't matter if I stumble. Because I want the rewards that come with it. The rewards that I was faithful to the Word of God, the final authority, and chose to channel my thinking into how it says I should think. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Talk about miracle working power that the God of heaven invested in you as a parent. Is there any reason ever that you should feel like you account for nothing if you're raising children and seeking to do it God's way? Invest it with the miracle working power of God from heaven throughout eternity. Or I meant to say as long as the world endures. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Let's take a little rapid trail and acknowledge that there are many parents who abuse their children with a rod or with a stick. Or of all things, with a 2x4. Alright? All miraculous things can be abused. Matthew wrote that Jesus said that there are people who are going to come before him and say, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name done many wonderful works or miraculous works? Okay. You can use this rod if your heart is not right. It's not going to work. But the Holy Bible gives us instruction and lots of hope that if we practice it, even if we stumble around in it, and we're headed towards the direction of discipleship and God's instructions, there's lots of power behind it, all right? So read it again. Withhold not correction from the child. It doesn't say from your child. If you're given responsibility over some other child and you become a foster parent or something like that, legally, there's things that come into play. But we're looking at what the final authority says. Wisdom is needed. We can't just be careless with these things because the world is against God and against the Word of God and against its final authority. Makes me think about Hope, No Haven. Up in Virginia, there's a children's home. Maybe somebody has the name for me. The Virginia Children's Home, where they take care of children that aren't normal when they... For the parents, yes? Faith Mission Home, right? Yes. Okay, so they followed the Word of God and they applied the rod as necessary. I remember there was a doctor who had been helping a parent with a child that had some limitations. And that doctor said that if you want this child to be a blessing when they're older, you have to be twice as prompt and twice as specific, and probably four times as often you have to use the rod for them if you want it to turn out right. Correct use of the rod. All right. So then in Faith Mission Home anyway, somehow or the other, some lady got a hold of it and said, oh, this is nonsense. This is awful. And then she got them into trouble, took them to law. And then through the court case, there were various things, but then as the court cases are dragged out, so there were things that happened where children in the state homes were tremendously abused, black and blue, and were out of order and were miserable. And these other people had a lot of children that were in order and that were well-behaved and that were helping each other. Anyway, so the law finally decided in favor of Faith Mission Home that using the rod properly is the right thing to do. All right. Other people have done it also. Michael Pearl, for example. He and his wife have been involved in court cases where they explain what they do and how they do it, because someone had abused a child seriously and had claimed it was because of the Pearls literature. And so the Pearls had to explain what they do, and the courts explained to them, the courts, I'm getting my words jumbled here, the courts, as I remember it, exonerated them. Said there's nothing to it. You're doing something that's okay and acceptable to do. So there are people who have gone through a lot of deep trial and scary things following the Word of God. We don't want to be careless, but we want to be thankful to those who have labored in that respect. Thank you to all who have exercised themselves deeply in when they suddenly got thrust into those things. Okay, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. And the German there says, withhold not correction, it says, cease not correcting children. Cease not correcting children. And so we want to be alert and aware and cease not from correcting children. All right. Now, foolishness. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That sounds like a miracle. How can this thing here, this rod, how can that drive something far from the heart of a child? It's a miracle. It's a glorious miracle. It's a wonderful miracle. It's a God-designed and ordained miracle. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness is silliness. The German says, foolishness is stuck in a child's heart. So, as I thought about that, I like to think, what does it really look like? And so I wanted to demonstrate something to see if we can agree that this might be what the Bible's saying about it. Does this look like something that might bind? Got it in an auction, never used it. But maybe it'll work for this. It's a rope that's... Brother Diane, about how thick is that rope? About 2¼ inches. So it's a rather large rope. So now, you volunteer to help? How does it look when foolishness is found in the heart of a child? Is something like this, like something like the Bible might be saying? Let's see. This will work. In the heart of a child. So, you think there's any foolishness found in your heart yet? You don't think so? That's good. Confidence in the miracle working power of the rod. If it comes out, if you start to express foolishness, what are you going to do? What's going to happen? He doesn't know. But we've been sharing about this, and I think you know the answer. I'm trying to think about it. Foolishness is bound to the heart of a child. Now, what for miracle working power is this, that a rod like this is going to drive that far from him? What a glorious, blessed, miraculous deliverance. When I thought as a young man about the rod, I experienced the rod a lot, thankfully, and very necessarily. And so, this was good. But yet, when I came to this thing about the rod, oh, you have to use the rod, my heart kind of cringed. But as I was studying it afresh now, I suddenly saw that it's full of beauty and power and deliverance. If I accept that I am a Romans 3 person, and that this is how my soul is, much worse than that. Is it getting too heavy? Can you stand there a little bit yet? Okay. So, if I'm a Romans 3 person, and that's all that I need to expect out of me as an individual, so that I can fully turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful deliverance?
Yes.
So if I am a Romans 3 person where it's none good, none that doeth good, no, not one, and my wife is that kind of a person too, then what hope do our children have? Okay, then they're going to be that way too. But they come to us innocent and sweet and kind. Can we keep it in our hearts, keep that separate, the way the Word of God says, that we can enjoy them thoroughly in their innocence and be awake and alert to that when they need chastisement, that we give chastisement promptly and continually as necessary. So now the rod of correction is going to somehow, by the miracle of God, unwind from this child's heart. And it has this interesting description there about this unwinding. It's taking me some time to unwind, but there we go.
Thank you, Father.
Okay, you can go to your seat. It drives it far from him. Excuse me. What's the name of that rope?
Foolishness.
The miracle of the rod to do that. It's amazing, isn't it? Captivating, fascinating. If I apply it, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Mother, Father, God invested you with miraculous instructions that if you follow them, he performs his miracles. There are difficulties and there are things to learn, but this is what we have. We want to elevate the rod to its proper, sanctified, beautiful, powerful place. Promptly, properly, thoroughly. So that foolishness can be driven from him. Now, if you think about this, one more thing on foolishness is that Jesus said, "For from within, out of the heart of man cometh." I'll check with the Brotherhood Concordance here to see if there's somebody that knows where that one's found. From within, out of the heart of man cometh. And it's a list of things. Okay, so we agree that Jesus said it, so we're not strange to that verse. Okay, but then he has that whole list, and the end of it he says, out of the heart of man come all these things, and in the end he says, foolishness.
Right.
So that means that foolishness might be tied to my heart too. So if I go by the word of God and I get rid of foolishness, is it a chance that I will be able to think clearer how to help my child be delivered from their foolishness? So therefore, as I go along in my life, I have to continue making decisions to turn away from foolishness. And if I want to continue practicing foolishness, but I want my children delivered from it, there's a word that describes that it's just an antagonistic thing. All right? So there's various things to consider there. And another place in the New Testament says that we should turn away from foolish talking and jesting. Foolish talking and jesting. What is foolish talking and jesting? If I continue to exercise myself in foolish talking and jesting and to think about that and consider it, am I therefore going to have as much space to think clearly about God's way of training children?
No.
Not really. So now, what would happen if every one of us, whenever we find ourselves tempted with it, which I'm guessing most of us are at times, what would happen if we would think about how to glorify God in child training and how I can interrelate, talk with, and enjoy my children? Now I don't waste time on foolish talking and jesting, but I turn those energies and that time into something useful. It makes me think about one of my children that once said, oh, they barely have time to do some things they really like, useful, good things. And so we started looking at that child's life and saw that there were quite a number of places where they could put good, edifying use put their time to good edifying use in what they wanted to do if they would have taken the opportunity. But it was frittered away. It was lost. And so all of us have the tendency to lose time on worthless pursuits. And it takes a glad, cheerful effort and dedication in things to try and keep these things clear in our hearts and minds. So, here's the next verse in Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give somebody. Can somebody say it loud?
Wisdom.
Doesn't it sound like another miracle in this little rod? Another thing that taught me is, whenever my child is acting unwisely or improperly, needs the rod on it to correct, I am using the rod correctly. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Why take the risk? A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Why take the risk? The rod and reproof, so using the rod and you're talking about it, give wisdom. Hallelujah. Lots of hope. Lots of direction. Lots of inspiration. So that is something that I would really like to have us unitedly work on getting our minds clear so that we raise the rod to where it should be, for its beautiful purpose that it's designed. There are a lot of principles and practices and things that I have to wait till later to share that. But these things here, if we have that in place, now we're not looking at the person that's sharing it, but we're together examining the Word of God to see what it says to try to align our thinking to that so that we get that into place, so that the other principles will work better in how to relate to children. And I'd like to close with this, with these two articles here. There's one lady here that wrote in a farming magazine, and they were talking about how to get the children to want to take over the farm. But the principle she brings out is one that is very good for other things as well. And she explains that the children need to understand that they are part of something bigger than themselves. So, as I thought about it, I realized that I'm taking part of something much bigger than myself. All the martyrs in the past, Jesus Christ, and older people gone before us, I'm following something much bigger than myself. And so the children need to understand they're following something much bigger than themselves. And that's why we follow through with things and instruct. And this one here says transformed. And our children need to learn from a young age how life works. And they learn that by how we present it to them. I thought this was a good one. Candle wax with heat is melted. Metal in a furnace is smelted. Softened clay to wheel subjected. Gems are cut till light's reflected. Every substance needs refining, melting, molding, and designing. If a child from a young age understands, I just need melting, molding, and designing, is it going to make your child training easier? If they understand that, yes. And it is up to us from the Word of God and learning and growing how to communicate to that the child, you're part of something bigger, and everybody needs refining, so why not just take it and keep learning and growing from it. It's surprising how God is 100% on your side as a parent for the child against the devil. All right, it doesn't matter what it is, always, forever, perpetually, God is always on your side against the devil for your child. All right? I don't know if I said that clear enough, but it's this statement here. Always remember that. Therefore, God is always behind you to do that. It doesn't matter what your child does. God is always on your side against the devil for your child. All right. For every substance needs refining, melting, molding, and designing. For each artist has in view something lovely, useful, new. Our lives are like unto each substance. May we yield not show resistance. So therefore, you need to practice in your life, at least I do, to yield to the right places and not show resistance to the Word of God and to various other things around us and to borders and things. So now, your child needs to understand how to yield, not show resistance. So it brings peace and prospering to their life instead of misery and rebellion. May we yield, not show resistance to the hand of our designer, as he purges, makes us finer, with whatever way he chooses, painful though it be, he uses, cutting pain and searing fire, pure perfection, his desire. And so the final thought here that I want to share now in this subject is this thing of the value of a child. And when I look at my children or other children, I see in them, even if they're a little baby, a whole multitude of marvelous, amazing possibilities. Because that's how God describes a human being. For evil, yes, but also for good. So now, as I apply myself to think that way, I am looking at how to beautify the soul of the child. From my soul to their soul, to beautify the soul of the child, that they can become useful, pleasant, and enjoy the good relationships in life. That is a goal and an underlying thing. I'm not just taking the rod so I can straighten them out so they behave so my life is nicer. But everything there, if I see something that makes the soul more ugly or more unfit for general society, then I do something about it to beautify their souls so that they can have a more blessed experience. It's for their well-being and their benefit. And God's design and his miracle working power behind it. So we'll leave it at that for now. And the Lord bless you as you follow his word and his instructions.